Good morning, Cornerstone. Would you rise to your feet? You ready to sing? Sing wherever I go. God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. God is for me, He's not against me. I will hold to the plans He has for me. When I'm broken, He will fix me. I will call on the name of the Lord. Here we go. All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. My sorrow, He's my hope and my strength for tomorrow. When the storms rise all around me, I will call on the name of the Lord. Here we go. All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Wherever I go, all my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. And I got joy, joy, joy deep in my soul. I'm gonna sing, I will sing. Wherever I go, all my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. All my life, all I know, God's been good, good to my soul. Mountain high, valley low, I'm gonna sing wherever I go. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to Cornerstone. Make sure there's room for other people coming in. If you got spaces in your seats, you can move to the middle or whatever. Make some space. We're filling this place up. And we got a new pastor at Bethel Church starting like this Sunday. So there's some transitions. We had a little bit of like shake up, yes, downstairs this morning because they got, I guess, maybe some younger people coming. Anyway, two churches, one building. It's good. Jesus prayed that we'd be united, we'd be one. And sometimes that takes some work. So we had to do a little bit of work this morning in our own hearts, but it's all right. It's all right. So we are going to be talking about beautiful feet this morning. This is a new series, 4 weeks long throughout the month of January. Beautiful feet, what's that about? Well, it's about bringing the good news to other people. And so hopefully this will be an encouraging day, encouraging month. But we're singing about those kind of things. We have something to share. We have something worth sharing. And sometimes we forget about that. Sometimes we take it for granted. But let's just keep thinking about what we have that's worth sharing. And the next song is called Blessed Assurance.
Thank you. faithful God. Show your promises for me secure, for the battle be my heavenly sword. Blessed assurance, Jesus is. In his blood, illuminate with the Savior's light to dispel my thoughts in the blackest night, in the darkest hour. To my soul reveal the wounds which all my sorrows heal. Impress that seal in his image, leap. By your power to his grace I'll cleave, until faith be sight and prayer be praise, when beholding Jesus face to face. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This my story, this my song, born of spirit, washed in blood. This my story, this my song, in my Savior I belong. This my story, this my song, born of Savior, washed in blood. This my story, this my song, washed in his blood, born of his spirit, washed in his blood.
Amen. Amen. One more song. We're going to do a hymn right now that maybe you've never sung before. It's an old one. It's been around for a long time, and we haven't sung it here for maybe 15 years. So if you don't know it, that's all right. You'll learn it. It's easy to pick up. I'm going to sing of my Redeemer. It's about sharing our faith. It's about praising God for what he's worth.
I will
suffer from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story. God, we thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for the cross, for the celebration of Jesus coming as a baby. We just had Christmas. Now we look forward to your faithfulness in the new year. And God, I thank you for the life that's in this room, the energy, the people, the variety of ages, the kids who are excited to be here. God, I thank you for what you're doing here in this place, in both churches. And I pray that you'd be honored today and that you just use this time for your name, for your glory, and for our encouragement and our help. You know what each person needs today. And so, Lord, I pray that your spirit will come and meet us where we are. And just use this time for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. A little more action up front today, right? Okay. So we have a question of the day. As the kids third grade and under head downstairs to their classes, question of the day, thinking back, what was your favorite TV show as a kid? Favorite TV show as a kid. How many of you, just to get an understanding, how many of you know the theme song for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? You know the theme song for Mr. Rogers? Raise your hand if you don't know it. You don't know Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? Okay, all right, now I know. Okay, that's going to come back. But go ahead and share with each other, and then we'll be back in a minute.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Will you be mine? Could you be mine? Well, hello there, everybody. Hope you all had a Merry Christmas. A good start to the new year. We are starting a brand new sermon series this week. And I don't know if this strikes you as odd, but it's about feet. I don't know, for some reason made me think of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So I got a question I gotta ask you. Some of you are like, what? No, this is real. I got a question I need to ask you. How do you feel about your feet? Do you like your feet? I mean, so my feet are kind of weird, kind of funky. I got this nasty wart like right here. I've been treating it for months and months. It just won't go away. I got these calluses on the bottom of my feet, just the way my toes lay. I got a callus on the top of one of my toes. Ethan picks on me for it. So, I don't know. No, he doesn't. He doesn't pick on me for it. I won't say anything else about that. But my feet are kind of weird. I don't know. Does anybody else have foot sensitivities? Yeah. Okay. There's two honest people. No, my wife doesn't like her feet. She doesn't like to show her feet. Okay, there's three honest people. Thank you. I see that hand. Oh, okay. You got a thing about somebody else's feet? Well, I need you to know, whether you feel weird about your feet or not, God loves your feet. God loves your feet. If you don't get anything else today, you need to know God loves your feet. And how do I know that? Where do I get that? Well, in the Old Testament, this psalmist, David, he wrote about it. He said in Psalm 139, he said, I praise you, God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's head to toe, the whole thing. Fearfully and wonderfully made. That word fearful kind of means awesome. There's something awesome about what God did when he made us. We're made in God's image. And fearfully and wonderfully made. There's something wonderful about you. You may have trouble with your feet or whatever part of your body, but you're made by God. And he loves you and he loves all of you. He loves your body. He loves you, your soul, everything. And so I think we need to kind of step away from the perfect ideal. We have these thoughts like, oh, my feet are this or my whatever my body, but you're different, you're unique. So let's step away from the cultural expectations that Hollywood gave us. You got to be this. Let's accept, okay, this is who God made me to be. Your feet are beautiful to God because they're yours. But according to God, there's another layer to the beauty of your feet that you may not have thought much about. I don't know. Maybe you have and maybe you haven't. Oh, I can't believe I did. I messed up. That, guys. Back up. Okay, I'm going to start all over. One of these days, I'm going to get the slides right. I am. You got to stick around for a long time to get that to that point. Okay. All right. Sorry. I really, really failed. Okay, so there's another layer to the beauty of your feet, right? That's where we're at. One layer of the beauty of your feet has to do with who they belong to, right? God loves you, so he loves your feet, your head, your everything. The other layer of beauty in your feet has to do with where they take you. Where your feet take you. Your feet can take on another layer of beauty based on what your feet do and where they go. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this 4-week message series called Beautiful Feet. We're going to be talking about where our feet go and what they do and how they can become even more beautiful to God. In Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul said it this way. This is chapter 10, verse 15. He said, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. You want beautiful feet to God? You already got them, but they can be even more beautiful by using your feet to bring the good news where it needs to go, where it needs to get. So that will transcend the physical, you know, the imperfections of my own feet. But we have beautiful feet. And many of you already have beautiful feet that transcends the physical. So the idea behind the series was actually sparked by a conversation I had with Bonnie a couple months ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, I forget. But some of you know Bonnie. She was here a minute. Oh, there she is. I had to find her. Like, I didn't get permission to mention her name. And so I'm going to mention some names today that I did not get permission for. It's all good. It's all good. Don't worry. I was like, should I ask? Nah, not today. Not today. I'm not going to. So I apologize ahead of time. It's always better to ask forgiveness than permission. Isn't that what they say? Is that in the Bible somewhere? No, that's not in the Bible somewhere. My wife is like, get down. Anyway, Bonnie. Bonnie is a woman with beautiful feet. I've never seen her actual toes, okay? But I've seen her spiritual feet. She is a woman with beautiful feet. When the Bible talks about our spiritual armor, I don't know if you thought about this. It talks, you know, it's the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and the feet that are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Those feet that are prepared to bring the gospel of peace. Now, I don't know how Mr. Rogers does it, but this sweater is too hot, okay? Can't handle it. Too much. Okay. All right, so Bonnie and I were having this conversation a few weeks ago, and it's kind of a brainstorm conversation about where we're at as a church and what are some of the things that we need as a church, just all of us, kind of as a combined thing. We talked about ladies' ministry and men's ministry, and it was really the spark that led to the electives that we're offering in 2026. We've been talking about that for a few weeks, the one-year Bible jumped in. There's been some really good discussion about that, even this morning. But one of her suggestions was to do some training on how to share your faith. And I thought about that, you know, and I realized, you know, she's right. She's right. I think that would be a really good thing for us right now. Not because I want to like browbeat you into sharing your faith and feel guilty about like you're not doing it enough, but I think there's a lot of people in this room who are growing in desire to share the good news. I hear of people reading books about it. I hear of opportunities to share and excitement in that. So I'm hearing a lot of you already doing this. So it seems like a good idea to take some time to just invest in that topic as God is working on many of you in that already. So we're going to take a four-week break from Genesis. We're going to be in Genesis for a long time, guys. So just hang on. Like, it's going to be a while. But we'll be back. We'll be back to Genesis. But for right now, we're doing this series called Beautiful Feet, Bringing the Good News to the People We Love. And I don't know if you're anything like me, but in my journey, in my story, for the first decade of my relationship with Jesus, sharing my faith was only a subject that made me feel guilty. I don't know if that's you at all, but all through middle school and high school, I did not want to share my faith. I want to prove to you that I did exist in middle school and high school. Here's some pictures way back when. Those are jelly beans. There's two of them there. I don't know. I haven't changed a whole lot. But this is me back then. I wanted to blend in. I went to a public high school. I did not want to stand out. But at the same time, I knew that I was kind of supposed to tell people about Jesus. And logically, it made sense to me. Like, yeah, people have the right to hear the good news of forgiveness through Jesus, but that I shouldn't keep that to myself. But I didn't want to be the person to bring it to them. Because I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to blend in. That was more important to me at the time. Now, does anybody relate to that at all? Like, am I the only? Okay, there's actually a good number of people. Okay, good, okay. All right, thank you. When you think about sharing your faith, sometimes we feel some kind of guilt about it, that we're not doing enough, right? And you know you should, but you kind of don't want to, right? I'm not alone. You already proved that to me. So let me just be clear about what we're doing these next few weeks. This series is not going to be a four-week beat down with my Shepherd's Club guilt trip, right? We talked about the shepherd last week, my dad. He brought out the club, right? I'm not getting out the club in this series. I don't think that's what we need. Because I'm hearing from you, you're trying to do this. You want to do this. You're not where I was. Many of you are not where I was back in middle school and high school. You don't want to hide your faith. You want God to use you to share the good news. And that may not be all of you. Maybe some of you are. Yeah, that's me. I'm still in middle school, still in high school. I'm an adult. I still feel that way. Like, that's okay. So the point of the series is not to lay on the guilt and the shame, but to lift up your arms to support you, to encourage you, to equip you to do what you already want to do. So the intent of the series is to process together, how can we best share our faith so that people, when they hear the good news, they hear it as good news, not as you're not doing enough, you need to do better, you're bad, and God wants to make you better, but you bet, like a lot of finger pointing and accusations, like we don't want to bring the good news in a way that they take it as just another religious option and a whole bunch of lists of things they have to do. But we want to bring it as actual good news. That is something they really need and really want. And we want to be a people whose feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. By the way, if you are not a follower of Jesus yet, and I don't know, maybe you've been in a church for a long time and you're still undecided. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, you are welcome here. We are glad you're here. You get a front row seat to some of this inside stuff that we're going to talk about. But it's not going to be directly about you. If you're not a follower of Jesus, this isn't actually about you. You can listen. This could be really interesting to you, perhaps. So feel free to listen in. But at the same time, there's no expectation here that if you're not even sure what you believe, that you need to do this stuff. So hopefully you don't check out. But the most important thing is you figure out what you do believe. And you can do that here. You take as long as you need to. Keep working on that. We're thrilled that you're here, allowing us to be part of your spiritual journey. That's great. But for those of you who are followers of Jesus, which is a lot of you, I bet there's something inside of you that wishes you had a little more courage. Something that inside you that wants to be better at sharing the good news with people, to be ready, to have the things to say. You're like, I don't want to be like Pastor Nate. He always knows what to say. He knows right where the Bible to go. And like, you don't need to be like me. But you may be feeling that desire. I want to get in on what God's doing. God is working in ways, and people talk about sharing Jesus with other people. And man, what if I could do that? So, I'm going to get a drink here. Splash myself in the eye. I love Nalgene's. They're great for that. So let's set aside the guilt, those guilty feelings, the shame. And for those of you who want to do this, I have to get the water off my glasses. It's the real deal. Unrefined. This is just who we are. Let's lean into this and see what we can learn about sharing the good news. Because I want us to be, and I think you want to be a church of beautiful feet, right? So open up your Bible while I get another drink. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Use your Bible app or your paper Bible. I still prefer paper, but same words are on the app. And the book of Romans is a New Testament book, follows the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then there's Acts, and then you get to Romans. And Romans is originally a letter written by the Apostle Paul, one of the founders of the original first century church. He's writing to the believers in Rome, city of Rome, first century AD, long time ago. So what I want you to hear first is the Apostle Paul's heart for his people, the Jews. Romans 10, verse 1. Brothers, fellow believers in Rome, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. This passage and the rest of the Bible teaches us that Christ is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. Not my resume of all the good things that I've done. Christ is my righteousness. And the Apostle Paul can see that his fellow Jews, they are working their tails off to please God. And yet they've rejected their Messiah, their King. And as long as they're in that mindset, they will never please God. They've rejected the Son of God. That will never please him. And Paul, he aches to see his people receive Jesus as their Messiah who died and rose again so they and we could be forgiven. The previous chapter, Romans 9, he said, I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, the people of Israel. You hear that? Paul says, if I could, I might just give up my own salvation, my own eternal life with God, so that these people who are so lost could know him. I ain't there. I'm not there. I want you to be saved. I want everybody in town to be saved and forgiven, but I'm not giving up mine. But this is Paul's heart. Wow. So many of the Jewish people at that time had rejected Jesus. They are confident in their own righteousness through following the law. And in that, they reject the righteousness God offered them. They're just sticking with what they know, what they're comfortable with. But Paul knows the truth. Their version of righteousness is prideful, it's arrogant, self-sufficient. It's an attempt to please God without God, which is offensive to God. You want to please God without God, that's offensive to God. It's a rejection of God. So their righteousness, their best stuff, is a stench to God because it's a rejection of his Son. And Paul longs that they would see the truth and believe. And that's the kind of heart we want to have for other people. We want to have that longing for other people. Because how many people today have that same mindset as those Jewish people? If I do enough, whether it's going to church or giving money or helping people, whatever it is, if I do enough, then God will be good with me. God will be okay with me. It's the same situation today. People think they got to impress God with their righteous behavior to earn his favor. But guys, that's not the good news. That's not the good news. That's an impossible burden. We can't do it. That's not the gospel. That's not the message we're trying to bring. So a few verses later, the Apostle Paul lays out, here is the good news. Here it is, about as clearly as it gets in the Bible. Romans 10, verse 9. Listen to what he says. This is laying out the gospel. This is the good news, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified or declared righteous by God. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. No matter how you slice it, divide people up, there's no difference. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For, then he quotes the Old Testament, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's in the Old Testament too. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You want to make things right with God? You don't need to work harder. You don't need to be more righteous. You need to be forgiven. You need to be saved. You need to be rescued. We need a righteousness we can only get from Jesus. And people need to hear about this. That everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So then after that, in the same chapter, he lays out some logic. Some of you are logical people, scientific, like give me some proof, give me a linear equation here. Here's some logic, verses 14 and 15. After laying out the good news, here's the good news. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Then verse 14, how then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. That is a logical chain reaction. And you probably can't even see the words because they're, you know, blending in. But the important words are yellow, right? Can you see those? You can see them in your Bible, at least. One thing depends on the next in this chain reaction. Nobody's going to call on Jesus if they don't believe in him. And no one's ever going to believe in someone without hearing about them. You never heard about somebody, you're not going to believe in them. You're not going to call on them. And the only way someone's going to hear is if somebody says it, if somebody preaches it. And that's not preaching like stand up on top and point your fingers down. You're bringing the message of the good news shoulder to shoulder, friend to friend. You're telling them about Jesus. And people can't preach unless you got an audience. I mean, I could preach in my office about the gospel, but that's not what we're talking about. We've got to find the people who need to hear. So this is a logical progression. And then at the end of it, Paul quotes from the prophet Isaiah, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. And it doesn't specify exactly how far these feet have to go to bring the good news. I mean, some feet travel across the continents. Some feet travel across the sidewalk or the office or the hall. Somebody in your own family. It doesn't say how far you got to go. But those who are willing to go and share this good news have beautiful feet in the eyes of God. How beautiful are those feet? Because your willingness to go is how that logical chain reaction is set off. It's how it begins. This is how God set it up. Somebody goes, they share the good news. People hear, and they have to decide what they're going to do with it. So this isn't all on us. It's partially on us. It's partially on them, the person receiving, and it's partially on God, because he's the one who does the work to convince people that it's true. But God doesn't tell people the gospel himself. He doesn't do it. He left it to us. And when you say yes to that, you say yes to God. Number one, God's going to help you. I've heard so many times, I don't know what to say. Just say yes to God. Yeah, help me. He will come alongside. He will help you. You're not going to get right all the time. You're not going to have all the answers. But God is going to use that to coach you, to make you better. You have a conversation and you're stumped. Like, okay, I don't know. I'm going to find out. I'm going to go talk to somebody else and find out what is the answer to that. God is going to walk with you. You don't have to get it all right. You don't have to get it perfect. You have to be willing. Okay, God, do it. Do it. Use me. And then you do that. You become that person. God's going to look down at your feet like, your feet are beautiful. I like those feet. How beautiful are your feet? Because you're accepting a call that is higher than the typical routine. Eat, work, sleep, repeat. Eat, work, sleep, repeat. Eat, work, sleep, repeat. Anybody stuck in that routine? Yeah? Can't wait for Friday. Another weekend. Like, when you say yes to God about this and you start stepping out in that with some God-given courage, your heart is changing. You're starting to see the world like God sees it. It's not eat, work, sleep, repeat. There's a kingdom. And there's people in it. There's people on the dark side, people on the right side. And there's people who need to be rescued. Your purpose takes on a new meaning. You're not just here to survive or maybe get all you can while you're here. You have an eternal purpose. You're part of God's kingdom. And it's real. And God has designed you. He's gifted you. He's prepared you to do specific work, specific things that have eternal consequence. And many of you folks here, you've already embraced that. You see life through the lens of God's kingdom. Many of you are already there. You don't just work to survive. You know you're where you are because God put you there. Some of you get it. And some days are, even in that, some days are boring. Some days are stressful. Some days are hard. And some days are fun. And some days are good. But you know, you're not just making batteries. You're not just teaching another lesson. You're not just welding another thing to a thing. Right? I used to be a welder. That's not true. You're not just wiping another nose. And you're not just trying to survive middle school to get to high school to graduate and finally get a job. You're not just doing things that are miniature, just about you. You have an eternal purpose. You're enlisted as a servant of God and placed where you are with divine purpose. And this is where I'm going to embarrass some people. Just, you know, people that I talk to maybe more often, in-house examples. First one came to my mind. My friend Rick, he's an excellent German teacher. He's a great German teacher. He really is. The students like him, and there's some students here who take him, and we won't ask them. But he's not just a good teacher, but he cares about the students. He cares about the people he works with. And when he gets to have a spiritual conversation, you know, I have to be careful about that, right? You have to be careful about that. When it's invited, when it's welcome, when that happens, I tell you what, he's pumped. And I will say from my experience in knowing him, he's more pumped than when his AP German 5 students get a 5 on their AP exam. Like that's the end. That's the cream. That's the goal. Like that you can get as many students as possible all the way through and get a 5 on their AP exam. And that's cool. And that's good. And that's exciting. But when he gets to talk to somebody about Jesus, I tell you, he's more pumped about that. Because he knows that's more important. Another friend, his name is Tim, and he just walked out. I think he got bored. He runs a shop that fixes cars, right? And many of you know that. Tim's the most honest man I know. Actually, his wife is teaching for the first time downstairs, so she's probably like, help! You saw the kids up front here, right? They got some energy. He probably got a SOS. So he's the most honest man I know. But if Tim gets to have a conversation with a customer about Jesus, or a chance to help somebody who he knows needs help, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, like you need some help today, I'm gonna meet that need. For Tim, that's where it's at. That is where it's at. That's what defines a good day for him. It's a good thing to fix cars, help people out, make some money, feed your family. Feed your family, right? That's a good thing, right? Bring home some bacon, I need to eat. So for sure, you got to still do that. You have to still do that in what you do. But having an honest spiritual conversation and doing God's kingdom work, like really loving your neighbor, there's a chance I'm going to do it. I'm going to step in. That brings deeper joy to him than anything else can. So to be clear, God's kingdom work is not only telling people about Jesus. It's not just saying the words every time you see your neighbor. Oh, let me tell you again. You told me 50 times already. It's not just telling people about Jesus. That is absolutely an important part of it. But God's kingdom work is also doing what you've been trained to do, what God has gifted you to do, and doing it in a way that shines the light of Christ through your life. They got to see it in you. If you've got all kinds of hypocrisy and anger issues and all this stuff that you're not even dealing with, you want to tell them about Jesus? I don't want your Jesus. It has to be in your life too. That doesn't mean you have to be perfect. It more means you got to be real. You know what? I'm working on that. That's an issue. God's brought it to my attention. I'm working on that. You don't have to be perfect. You can't be. That's fake. But we want to live in a way that shines the light. So here's another. Gavin and Andy. They do landscaping. They plow snow. They could do that 100% for the money. How can I squeeze as much money out of each customer as I possibly can? They could do that. Make a lot of money. You can. I mean, sort of. Or they can do their work in a way that honors God's name with integrity and fairness, right? Phil and Morgan, They both work at DECA. Anybody else work at DECA? DECA. No, just two. There's just two. So they can work their line at DECA all day long, all night long, whatever it is, in a way that honors God's name and shines the light of Christ. Or they can just try to survive the shift and go home. And I bet you some days they do one and some days they do the other. And that's true probably of Gavin and Andy and, I mean, maybe you too, right? We don't get it right all the time. But we can get it right more of the time. We can have a kingdom mindset, but we're not going to always have it. But we all have that choice everywhere we are, wherever God has put us. And it's when we are living for God's kingdom that God most often is going to give us a chance to speak for it, to speak on his behalf and in his name. Those things go together. That's important. So I told you before that I avoided talking about God all through middle school, all through high school. The last thing I wanted was to stand out. That was me. But guys, I had no idea what kind of spiritual high comes when you have a conversation about somebody who wants to talk about it. I had no idea. I have never been chemically high, okay? Except that one time with the dentist. That was pretty cool. That was the only time. But I've been spiritually high a lot of times. A lot of times. And I still remember some of these first ones. I was in New York City, and we were there to share Jesus. I was in college, Bible college, like, go into the city and tell people about Jesus. They trained us. And I will never, ever forget this conversation I had after a kids thing that we did with this 8-year-old boy. And he was ready to trust in Jesus. And I got to share it with him and pray with him. And I could see his face and his eyes. And it's like, I'm going to see you in heaven. Never forgot that. I've told you about my friend Joe, who I met in the woods on my wilderness time. And we connected spiritually out there and started a weekly phone call. That was a highlight of my week, to talk to somebody who's not sure what they believe yet about God and Jesus, the Bible, and your own spiritual life. We met weekly for like a year. And I told you, he disappeared and he came back in my life again. These things are like, whoa, God is doing something. I had no idea how good that felt until I started doing it. After about 12 years as a closet follower of Jesus, you can probably tell now I'm not a closet follower of Jesus anymore, right? Did you notice that? But it started my freshman year of college. I went to Word of Life Bible Institute, and they taught me how to share my faith. I picked the ministry commitment. I picked the ministry commitment that would be over the fastest. We're going to go to New York City and share our faith for a week and then go home and be done. I had no idea what that was going to do to my soul. I had no idea. It was the hardest thing to sign up for, but it was quickest. So like, my motives were bad. God's motives were good. We're going to work you. We're going to shape you. They put me in situations where I got to practice doing it. Guys, something inside of me changed. I felt the raw energy, the power of God flowing through me as he used me to share his good news with other people. And the walls in my heart came down. I'm so thankful for that. Because they were up. My dad would ask me before going to school, who are you going to share Jesus with? Nobody. Next day, who are you going to share Jesus with? Well, here's the name of my friend. You pray for him. I'm not sharing. Who are you going to share Jesus with? Nobody. That was it. Until freshman year of college. And I just had to ask myself, why in the world had I resisted for so long? And my heart changed, and my feet became beautiful on a whole new level. And now my favorite thing to do is have a spiritual conversation with somebody, especially if they're trying to figure things out. I love bringing the good news to people who don't yet understand it. And I know some of you guys have gotten a taste for that too. Some of you have, some of you haven't. We're at different places. That's okay. That's okay. Had some conversations with Ashley recently about opportunities she had at work. She works in hospice. Guys, think about that for a second. Hospice, what kind of a place is that? People are just about to pass over. You think they're thinking about death? You think they might need somebody to talk to? God's given opportunities. You're in a different spot, different people. Some people think the pastor's supposed to do this. Like, we hired a pastor, and he does the preaching, and he brings people in. Guys, you think about Gavin and Andy and Rick and Phil and Morgan and Brian and, like, across the whole room. I can't go any of those places. It's not meant to be just for me. It's impossible. You guys, we're everywhere. We're everywhere. Watch out. We're bringing the good news. So where are you at right now with sharing the good news? Are you where I was at in middle school, high school? Have you gotten a taste for it? You're like, man, I want to do that more, but I don't really know what to do. I don't know how. Maybe for some of you, it's something you do as often as you can. We're not in the same place, and that's okay. And I'm sure some of you are in a place where I was early on, whether you're in middle school, high school, or you're an adult. I'm still in that place, and I'm 45 years old, maybe. Maybe you've never had an in-depth conversation with somebody about the good news. Maybe that's true. And maybe, like me, you carry some feelings of guilt about that. That's all right. Confess it to God. Just bring it to Him. Ask Him to help you with it. Ask Him to help you start to see people the way He sees them. Ask God to help you see people the way He sees them. I did that many years ago, and I think He's doing it. Ask Him to give you the courage to share Him with other people. The courage, we need that. So my hope is that this series is going to be part of your growth in that. This is not about guilt. It's about support for those of you who want it. And so those of you who are, you want to be part of God's kingdom work, you want to do this, you've already got a taste for it maybe, or maybe you haven't, but you want, we're going to cover some topics that are going to help you be better prepared, better equipped to be more effective to share it. So a couple of highlights, what's coming up. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about how to be better farmers. We need to be better farmers, paying attention to the soil of people's hearts so they can be better prepared to receive the seed of God's good news. That's really important. We've got to be farmers. Oasis is a big farming opportunity, right? So everybody's life is like a garden, including your own, and everybody's garden has some rocks and weeds. Amen? That's true in dirt gardens, and that's true in soul gardens. We got rocks and weeds. So we got to pay attention. These people have some rocks and weeds. I got to be aware of that. Maybe we can help get some of those weeds out. But we're going to talk about farming so they can receive the seed. Want to be sensitive to where people are at before we start kind of dumping the gospel on them. We got to understand, what's the garden situation like? So we're going to talk about that. Next week, we're going to talk, the following week, we'll talk about just the simple plan of salvation. If somebody says to me, how do I get what you have? What is this gospel thing you're talking about? What is this forgiveness? How do I get that? Just going to give you just a short list of scriptures you can put in your phone. You can put in the back of your Bible. Like, oh, okay, God, you just did this? All right, where do I go? Here's my notes app. Here it is. I got my phone with me. You might not have your paper Bible with you. But, okay, what can I do? Here is the gospel. Here is some scripture. We're going to get into that. So you're ready. Then the last week, we'll talk about how can I prepare to share my own story when God gives an opportunity. What has God done in my life? Because if you're His, He has. So thinking through, okay, how can I share? If I just have a few minutes, what would I say? Because we call it witnessing. And if you're a witness on the stand, you're talking about something you experienced, something you saw, something you know about. So if you're going to witness, you need to understand your story and how to share it. So that's the fourth week. So my goal is to equip you, encourage you. You already want to be used by God to bring the good news. Going to try to help give you some things to help you do that. And then also maybe, depending on where you're at, maybe this series will help bump you from that, I'm ashamed, I'm afraid, I don't want to do it, to maybe I do want to try this out. Maybe I want to give this a shot. So this whole series, Beautiful Feet, basically it's an invitation. This is an invitation to you into the great adventure of God, into something bigger, because we are so easily caught up trying to squeeze satisfaction out of things that don't satisfy. They satisfy for a moment, but we get caught up in our micro adventures, little things that occupy our daydreams. Maybe you've been daydreaming about something this morning already. Like, what am I going to do this afternoon? Little daydreams, like my ski selling business. That's one. I got to fight that. That's not what I live for. I live for God's kingdom. Fantasy football, anybody into that? That can consume your collection, a hobby, your house, your car, your garden, a video game you're really into. There's travel plans, your retirement account, things that only benefit you. These are our micro adventures. Kind of like we're playing in the sandbox of our own little lives, driving our play trucks, driving around in the sand, building piles, digging holes, but none of it amounts to anything. Beautiful Feet is God's invitation to join him on a wild adventure. It's lifting your eyes up out of the sandbox, taking his hand in yours and saying, amen, let's do this. Let's do this. Are you sensing God's tug? I don't know where you're at. I can't read your heart. Don't know where you're at. But do you want to be part of something bigger than you? You want to? I know several of you do, at least. Do you crave the adventure of God's kingdom work? Some of you have tasted it already. You're like, yep, I want more of that. I want more of that. Others, you haven't. That's okay. Stick around. Come back next week. And in the meantime, ask God, give me a taste for this adventure thing you're talking about, your kingdom. Give me a hunger for that. Because this is the way God changes the world. Through people like us in this room who bring the good news with our beautiful feet. This is how God changes the world. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. You have opportunities I don't have. And I have opportunities you don't have. My opportunities aren't for you. That's not what God wants you to do. God has ones for you. And I don't know what they are. But he's called us. He's given us an invitation. And you just have to decide if you accept or not. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor. Will you be mine? Could you be mine? We do this together. You're not alone. We do this together. It's a wild adventure, and it's better than anything else you'll try. So, I invite you to join me on this adventure. We can do this together by the power of God. So depending on where you're at, your next step may be very different from the person next to you. So just take a minute right now. You can look at some options on the screen or in your program on the back. Say, okay, God, what's my next step regarding what we are talking about right now? Let's pray together. God, I thank you for choosing us to be yours, to be not just forgiven and saved, but
brought into a deeper, more significant purpose than anything we could come up on our own. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us, what you've done for the people around us. So just tune our hearts to sing your praise. Tune our hearts to desire the things you desire, to love the things you love. We need your help with that. We are a distractible people, but we want to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we sing this last song, Is He Worthy, I just want to bring to your attention, some of you probably follow the news more than I do. There's something pretty awful that happened in Kutztown this week. Anybody heard about? There was a murder. There was a murder on Walnut Street in Kutztown. And apparently there was a verbal conflict, and a woman retrieved a gun from upstairs and took care of her husband. He's gone. And the hardest thing for me about that is knowing there was a 10-year-old child upstairs. Their child was upstairs when that happened. And the following day, I'm thinking about this kid. And, oh my goodness. They lost their dad and their mom on the same day. And thankfully, that child is with family. I did learn that. But the first line of this song, click it. Do you feel the world is broken? Yeah, we do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. Guys, this message series is not about building our numbers. We're full. Like, we got a full house. Like, we can move somewhere else. We can do whatever. But it's not about having more numbers here. It's about bringing hope to a very, very broken world. We live in a very broken world. And the light and hope, that didn't have to happen. It's not our fault that it happened, but there's brokenness that the light can change. So think about the state of our world. This song is about that, the brokenness of our world, but also the glory of our Christ. And there's a prophetic idea in the song about someone who's worthy to open the scroll. That's about the end time judgment, and the King is coming, and He is worthy. He's worthy of our praise right now. He's worthy of us serving Him and loving Him back. He loves us. So let's rise to our feet and sing about his great worth and where we live.
Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all be new? We do.
All creation groaning,
it is
a new creation coming,
it is,
and is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst,
it is
it good that we remind ourselves of this?
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is He worthy? Is He worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is He worthy of this? He is. Does the
Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
He does. And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves?
He does.
Does our God intend to dwell again with us?
He does.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole?
Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll?
There's one,
the Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave.
Every people,
from every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son.
Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory?
Is he worthy of
anyone worthy?
Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave,
he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and every people and tribe, every nation and tongue,
every nation and tongue,
he has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory?
Is he worthy of?
He is, he is, he is worthy, he is worthy, he is,
he is,
he is worthy,
he is worthy.
Amen. He is worthy. You guys can have a seat.
Oh, praise the Lord. We know the one who is worthy. A few things kicking off for the new year. P-Nate had mentioned the electives in the sermon. So we have the one-year read through the Bible plan. That's we're 4 days in. I think you've probably all seen the memes where it's like, I started the 365-day plan, and by day five, I'm done. So join the text group so you're not done by day five. Also, I'll make a plug to follow Cornerstone in the YouVersion Bible app. I'm discovering all types of things that can be done there, and I can make posts to link to the events that the sermon notes are in, and also the 365-day reading plan is linked there too. So if you search for Cornerstone and set it as your church, you'll get those notifications. That might be helpful. We also have a ladies' Bible study starting next Thursday, the 15th, and Bonnie's going to be leading that. There's a sign-up sheet on the info table downstairs if you've been considering that and you're a lady. You can sign up for that. There's a men's group that's going to be meeting on Saturdays. How many Saturdays? Every other Saturday, starting this coming Saturday. You can talk to P-Nate for more info on that. And there's one more thing, and I don't remember what it is. The electives. The book club is starting on next Sunday. So another thing you could join. But we do have an open house today. Local area churches are participating. The Historical Society initiated that. So from 1 to 5 today, members of the community are being invited to go to participating churches and learn about the church and the history and see the building. So that will be happening here from 1 to 5. If you would like to be here and receive the public, you are invited to do so. And then lastly, we have home groups starting up on the 18th. Signups for those are still downstairs on the info table as well. I think that's all the announcements. Lots happening, lots to get plugged into in this new year, and we hope that you do. Have a good day, and snacks and fellowship downstairs.